been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday Blast Off. That's what we've got. We've got a blast off in the market here to begin a new week. Kind of the last week of summer, I suppose. Well, you know, the kids are going back to school. Vacation time is coming to an end. It always ends with, Labor Day. But we've got a nice blast off here to the market. Not sure why. I said in my newsletter over the weekend that I think that the taper tantrum will be short-lived. And so far that looks to be like a true fact. Okay, we've got the Dow right now up 228 points. And we had a good day on Friday, too. We were up, 200 and some odd points on Friday after a pretty sloppy week last week with that talk of Fed taper. Now, just talk of Fed taper. No dates, no plans, not beginning to taper their buying of bonds. Just talk of Fed taper, okay? Now, we've got the S&P 500 right now. Where did that go? There it is right there. S&P 500 up 34. That's a big move. 44.75. NASDAQ up 1% today. And we're having a very, very good start to the week here with our portfolios. The NASDAQ up 150. Wow. 14,865 as it does have 15,000 within its sights. The small caps having a huge day, up 1.6%. Russell 2000 up to 2201. Crude oil up $3 a barrel. Wow, where did that come from? It was struggling last week. Gold's up $23 an ounce. Where did that come? Silver's up 53 cents an ounce. This looks like it's going to be a really fun day. The 10-year sitting chilly, 1.26. Bitcoin up 1,249. It's above 50,000. To 50,155. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show as we begin a new week in the market. It's always exciting, especially when it starts off really good. Last week ended good despite a pretty sloppy week. You know, I think the whole Afghanistan thing might have riled up the markets a little bit. Certainly the taper talk, there was your biggest impact on the markets. And the continued crackdown in China, you know, that unnerves. There's a lot of money. You look at these passive asset allocations and models that are built for you depending on your age and your risk tolerance, etc. Generally speaking, there's a pretty good piece that is in the emerging markets. And a lot of people in their 401ks have a lot of emerging market choices. Well, China is a big part of those emerging markets, and those emerging markets have been just getting clobbered. That has a unnerving effect on the overall market. I don't know that China ever gets their credibility back as far as institutional investors like me investing in China, mutual funds investing in China, unless it's a China fund, right? then they'll keep investing in China. They don't have a choice. But I'm unconstrained. I can go where I want to go and do what I want to do. We begin the new week with the P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 at 31.2. Yes, that's extremely high. But at the same time, interest rates are extremely low. In fact, I'm going to read you a little commentary here by Jim Grant, who's watched over interest rates for many, many years, does the Grant newsletter. He says interest rates historically are at a 4,000-year low right now. How low are they? 4,000-year low. And that's creating this bubble-like atmosphere in the valuation ratios, the PEs and the forward PEs. You got the S&P 500 PE at 31.2. The forward PE is at 22.18. And, you know, we have to compare that with the long-term average. To put that into perspective, The long-term average has been 16 to 18, and we're currently at 22.2. Well, I said on Friday, and I said it in my newsletter over the weekend, I think the taper tantrum won't last very long. The picture at the heading of my newsletter right at the top was a kid laying down in the aisle of Target or Walmart or the supermarket, head down, feet kicking the ground, you know, with the mom and with the shopping cart right next to the kid. That's the way the market pretty much reacted to the taper talk last week by our friends at the Fed, good old Jerome Powell and crew. And, of course, they don't all agree, obviously, but Powell does have the final say, it would seem. And that taper talk did unnerve the market, but by Friday, you know, we ended up having a pretty good day on Friday. We had a big day on Friday. We're having a huge day so far today. We'll see. I also sent out a little tweet this morning that, for me, Microsoft last week was the tech stock of the week. It exploded to a new high, and we'll talk about why here during today's show. The financials finally had a good day on Friday, as they've been fighting falling interest rates, and the reflation stocks at least stabilized. The industrials, the fertilizer stocks, the oil and gas stocks, the copper stocks, the miners, etc. And, of course, once again, China. I just would not have any exposure to China. I haven't for a long time, and I wouldn't have any exposure to the emerging markets right now as they continue to look awful. Is there another word I could use? Oh, that's about the best I can do. Awful. Well, last week was pretty dicey. You know, the utilities, when the utilities lead the market for the week, you know the market was on its back foot. It was definitely on defense. Healthcare was the second best performer. These are defensive sectors. Real estate was number three. Information technology, which, you know, Google, Facebook, it's pretty much FANG. It was number four. The worst performing sectors last week were the materials, energy, industrials, financials, your reflation stocks. But having said that, I still believe that you need to have some exposure. You can't be 100% exposed to NASDAQ stocks. Large cap tech is really probably the sweetest spot in the market right now. Once again, it's assumed control command. It usually does, any kind of sell-off, and here comes the NASDAQ charging forward with those big-cap tech stocks, the Apples, the Googles, the Facebooks, Microsofts, Amazons of the world. But I don't think you can have 100% exposure to that part of the market. Now, last year was different. Last year was all about go-go, momentum, high PE stocks. This year, I think you got to branch out a little bit. You know, the financials have certainly had some good runs here. They make up for the days that tech is having a bad day. The financials are usually having a good day. So that kind of is a nice hedge there. The financials are also a hedge. If interest rates start to rise like they did in February and March, you'll benefit from owning some financials. And your highest flying tech stocks will get whacked, just like we saw back in March and February and March of this year. Now, earnings season is over. We're not going to get a lot of big reports. There's no jobs report. There's no Fed announcement. There's no Fed minutes coming. So we're kind of in a quiet period right now. That may be good, you know. Not a lot to bother the market. The other thing that I made very clear in my newsletter over the weekend is the market always comes back to earnings, okay? You know, the taper tantrums and the bond buying and the interest rates and the inflation and everything like this, a fear of this, fear of that. I always come back and focus every week. I bring the conversation back to current earnings and future earnings expectations, okay? And that's what the market is coming back to today. You know, it's cleared its head of all these distractions and all of these ancillary issues, Afghanistan and, everything. And it seems to come back and be focused again on the earnings picture, okay? And really, government has very little to do with the earnings picture other than fiscal policy and, of course, monetary policy if they were to bring about a big tax hike, which is very possible. But the corporations, they're responsible really for the earnings and keeping them steady during any environment. I give the CEOs of many of our great companies across America tremendous credit for navigating through the COVID crisis and producing record earnings this quarter that just ended, okay? Now it's all about the future. We're back to the future when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Quarter of this blast off Monday in the market. Who saw that coming? Well, you can go back and read my newsletter from Friday or from Saturday when I sent it out and read what I had to say about the market and what my prospects were, especially in the macro outlook. If you don't read any other section in my newsletter, read the macro outlook of the newsletter. Now, I like to talk about when other folks out there, people with much more clout than me, obviously, Merrill Lynch and, Bank and Wells Fargo and Citigroup and all of these big analysts putting out their macro forecast, and I like to compare them with my macro forecast. And you know what? I listen to everybody, but I do my own numbers every single week and create my macro forecast from that. If you've never seen that, what a guide. I mean, what a compass to go by. As I've always said, you can be the best stock picker in the world, and if the market is not going in your favor, it's a pretty big uphill climb to try to beat the market in a bad market. That macro forecast is very, very important. And you know what? I am different from most money managers out there. Oh, I guess there's still a few of us out there, but I do believe in some market timing from time to time. You know, we're told all of the time, you can't time the market. Well, you know what? I think a lot of it's about your time in the market. You know, if you're 75 years old and you can't take big chances, you need to have somebody looking and watching those macro events that are out there in the world occurring all the time. We will have another recession. We will have another bear market. And I do not believe in having very much exposure, if any, to equities, stocks, in a recession, especially an earnings recession. More on that in a bit. All right, well, let's talk about China just for a minute. Hong Kong shares gained 2%. Japan's factory outlook activity slowed in August. China's all over the place. Hong Kong stocks are all over the place. Let's just set them aside for now and say good luck to anybody that wants to invest in China. The Afghanistan situation continues to be very bad. I don't see it having any impact on the stock market. However, the Biden administration has ordered six domestic airlines to contribute 18 total planes to help with the evacuation of Americans and Afghans. That is American Airlines, Atlas Air, Delta, the Air Transport Services, ATSG, Hawaiian Holdings, and United Air. So, I mean, those are all publicly traded companies. I don't know that I'd want to be the pilot and the crew you know, that's got to land at that Kabul airport and fly these evacuees out. But it is, you know, stepping into the stock market just a little bit here. And but, you know, at least for now, there shouldn't be much impact over this on the stock market. Okay, this is a good story out of Seeking Alpha. Earnings for S&P 500 companies have been a key driver for bullish Wall Street calls on stocks. Amen. I say amen to that. Can we all say amen? The end of the day, earnings are the key driver. And they're mentioning three sectors which are expected to drive S&P 500 earnings through 2021. Let's see what they've got to say. Information technology. Yeah, I'm on board with that. I mean, look, Facebook continues to grow earnings at a rapid rate. Google continues to grow earnings at a rapid rate. Twitter has become a profitable company. And, of course, your big ones, Microsoft, Adobe, Amazon, you know, even Netflix had a very good week last week. There's a lot of earnings growth left in those companies. There's a lot of earnings growth left in those companies. Okay, technology in general. Healthcare, there's definitely still a lot of growth and a lot of earnings growth in healthcare, whether it's Thermo Scientific, whether it's Pfizer, whether it's Lilly, whether it's United Healthcare. They continue to grow and really contribute to the earnings growth of the S&P 500. And the other one they mention here, energy and materials, okay? That's why I say you can't be all in tech stocks. I think you have to have a little bit of a balanced approach here in 2021, the year that we're in now, okay? Because the economy is changing. There's still a lot of stimulus out there. You just passed a big infrastructure bill. Materials and commodities are still, it's still a very tight market, very, very, very tight market. Auto manufacturers can't get the parts they need. Deer reported on Friday about the supply chain interruption. We've seen 13-year highs recently in iron ore prices and steel prices. I think you have to have a more of a balanced approach. Now, last year, you didn't want to have any exposure to the cyclicals. Nobody cared about the cyclicals. They sneezed and laughed at the cyclicals. Who wants to own a cyclical when, you know, when these electric, sexy electric vehicle stocks are flying, when these rocket to the moon stocks are flying and battery storage and on and on and on and on and on? Well, this year, I believe that you also have to own some of those stocks in your portfolio. Now, somebody that disagrees with me wholeheartedly, and she's in the news again today, because fund manager Chris Bloomstrand, president and chief investment officer of Semper Augustus Investments Group, said Friday that Cathie Wood's ARK investment portfolio is fundamentally overvalued. And he sees many signs of a bubble in the current financial market. Well, you know, Cathie Woods brings on the scrutiny herself and people commenting on her style of investing, because on last Friday she said the market isn't even close to a bubble. Well, this investment manager, I'm sure he's been around for a while, he sees many signs of a bubble in the current financial markets. I would not say we're at a bubble, but you just heard me go over the current P.E. ratio of the S&P 500, the current forward P.E. ratio of the S&P 500. We're very, very richly valued right now. And the Fed is going to have to continue to knock the ball right down the center of the fairway to avoid any kind of major disaster with inflation and whatnot and this bubble bursting. So I'm with Chris Bloomstrand saying, you know, her portfolio, not only is it fundamentally overvalued, she's out on a limb. She is way out on a limb. I have no exposure to the ARK funds, but they're being heavily shorted right now. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, looking like the tech's doing pretty good. Facebook's up $4.50. The Dow's up 247. The NASDAQ's up 170. We have ignition. We have blast off in this market. It continues to rise because it continues to follow earnings. Now, at some point in time, we'll have an earnings recession. We'll have a U.S. economy go into recession. Christopher Pavisi, chief investment officer at Broyhill Asset Management, said in a fund letter that he won't be surprised when a recession comes. Well, I won't either. The big question is, when will it come? He went on to say no one could predict when the downturn is likely to happen. There's the smartest thing he said, and the fact that he won't be surprised when well, you know what? Hopefully, I like the fact that he says we won't be surprised. It's not like it's going to show up. It's not like we're going to wake up tomorrow and there's a recession. There's going to be a lot of clues, okay? Every day on my show, you hear me report PMI numbers. You hear me report jobless claims. You hear me report inflation numbers, PPI, CPI, unemployment, you know, non-farm payrolls, ADP jobs report, all of this. Okay, these are all clues that we have to watch on a weekly basis. We're all watching out. Unless you're, you know, unless you own indexes, you don't care. You're going to ride through, come hell or high water, whatever the U.S. economy is doing, you're going to ride through it thick or thin. Whereas other investors like me, professional money managers, I'm watching for any signs of a recession, okay? I don't want my clients, I don't want to be sitting here frozen doing nothing when, you know, the S&P went down 53% in 2009 and 2008. That's half, more than half your money disappeared. Yes, it came back, but that's not real good on the stomach or on the psyche or on your nerves or on, you know, anything, your marriage, anything else. 53%, and it was even worse in 2000. I would say that the next bear, the next recession or the next bear in the market will be more like the one in 2000 than the one in 2009 and 8. The one in 2000 was the tech bubble, the dot-com bubble crash, bursting. 79% disappeared from the NASDAQ. 79% disappeared from the NASDAQ, okay? To just sit there and watch and do nothing, that's why we're always watching for signs and signals of the economy starting to slow down. But I would just say one thing, and I'll say it again, and I've said it many times. All of these tributaries that I just named, the CPI, the PMI, the unemployment reports, they all flow into the earnings of the S&P 500, okay? It reflects back the earnings of the S&P, which we just ended a smashing quarter, okay? A smashing quarter. Is that as good as it gets? Well, look at the expectations for the future quarters. That's all in the macro outlook of the newsletter. So you know what to watch for. And you know how to measure the results that are coming in against what the expectations are. Because the market is trading on expectations right now of what the earnings are going to be over the next couple of years and what the economy is going to be over the next couple of years. The market definitely is voting today with both hands that things still look rosy in the market, with the Dow up 242 points and a NASDAQ closing in on 15,000, but it will not last forever. What are some of the worries out there? Jim Grant, you know, he's a smart guy. He's the founder and editor of Grant's Interest Rate Observer. He's had a newsletter for a long, long time. Now, this is just one voice in the wilderness out there, right? He said Monday that the Federal Reserve is pursuing uniquely reckless macroeconomic policies by continuing its accommodative stance in the face of rising inflation and an economy that is bounding and ruddy with good health. Well, I mean, part of this, what he said, is good. He says the economy is bounding and ruddy, ruddy, R-U-D-D-Y, ruddy, you can look that up in the dictionary, with good health. So in his opinion, with the market in the, or the economy in the health that it's in right now coming out of this COVID crisis, the Fed should be starting to back off and should be starting to hike rates a little bit to prevent inflation from rising. But this is Grant's opinion. Grant told CNBC that the Fed is playing with fire by keeping interest rate at 4,000-year lows. Now, I didn't know he'd been writing his newsletter for that long, but do you know they have cuneiform from Egyptian pyramids that show what interest rates were 4,000 years? They were worried about interest rates 4,000 years ago. You know, maybe Joseph of Egypt said, let's start stockpiling wheat and corn. I see inflation coming. He was right. Made a whole lot of money for Pharaoh. Grant goes on to say maintaining its asset purchase program, even at as price measures have shown decades high inflation. He says the Fed should be backing off. The Fed should be taking preemptive action to ward off a big bout of inflation. How bad has that China sell-off been? KWEB, K-W-E-B, that's the China Technology ETF. It's down 43% year-to-date. You know, you can look at when I sold my DQ, my Daco Energy, JD.com, Pinduoduo, a long time ago. Gunderson saw it coming and got out of the way. Now you've got like Wedbush starting to say, you know, we're getting worried about the Chinese stocks. Well, KWEB is down 43%. Year to date has been absolutely slaughtered. That's why I believe in active management. When there's major macro changes, either in the economy or sometimes it just happens within sectors. You have sector rotation. We underwent a heavy sector rotation in the year to in the month of February and March back of in this year. Booster shots. Well, I saw today that Pfizer and BioNTech, they've got approval now, official stamp of approval from the FDA. And the byline was now the government can step up the vaccine mandates now that they have that with them. So expect to see more and more vaccine mandates going forward, which is a controversial issue, obviously. You still have a lot of people. You have a lot of states. You have a lot of companies, restaurants, etc., that don't want vaccine mandates. And you got a big chunk of people that do want vaccine mandates. You don't have a choice. You will get a vaccine. Or you will not go to a restaurant. You will not go to get on an airplane. You will not go see the Buffalo Bills play the Kansas City Chiefs this winter, okay? That's where we're headed with all of this. That's why I keep my ear to the ground. But obviously, a vaccine mandate, you would think, would have an impact on the travel industry, on the airline industry, the restaurant industry. Any industry where, you know, a lot of people gather, and they wouldn't be able to gather unless they had a proof of vaccine. So we'll see where that goes. I will continue to keep you posted on that. You know, now we're going to get into the individual stock portion of the show. Some days I spend a lot of time on individual stocks, but I have to get the macro stuff out of the way first because it plays so heavily into the individual stocks. You know, Target, okay? Target's adding more than 100 Disney shops within their stores. Well, let's think about Target. What would a vaccine mandate do for Target? I don't know. How many people wouldn't go because they require a vaccine and Walmart doesn't? I don't know. We don't know the answer to that question. But I will say this about Target. When I judge a company, when there's news on a company, the first thing I look at is my proprietary ranking. Target has surprisingly been a top-ranked stock for quite some time. And they reported earnings that, weren't quite as exciting and thrilling as they thought. The stock has pulled back quite a bit over the last week or two. Well, this is one that you could consider. It's currently a best stock now. Target has put up some big numbers for a large cap company, $126 billion. It's a survivor. Okay, them and Walmart, obviously, and others, Home Depot, Lowe's, that got to remain open during COVID, they continue to do well. Target, you know, the Disney stores, you can't find them anymore. Oh, yes, you can. Inside of Target, what's that going to do to the kid traffic and the tantrums in the aisles by some of these children? This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of the today's Best Stocks Now Blast Off Monday show. Of course, we got a full week ahead of us still. It's going to be a fun one today. I'm going to have a lot of fun looking at charts and looking at stocks breaking out. There's been a lot of nice breakouts recently. Like I said, I think Microsoft, I know it's not exciting and cutting edge, but from what I understand, they're raising their price on their core product, Office 365, and man, that stock blasted off last week. You think a lot of these big tech stocks are past their prime and don't have any gas left in the tank. I got news for you. They're still earnings powerhouses, and they're continuing to pound out new highs, many of them. And so, you know, if I were just to look at one asset class right now, you know, as I rank these asset classes in my app daily, the NASDAQ continues to dominate large cap tech and, you know, a lot of large cap non-tech, okay, the Goldman Sachs of the world, the Deers of the world, etc. The market seems to want large cap, reliable, consistent earnings. That seems to be the course that the market wants to take. They don't want anything. Most investors don't want to have anything to do with EV startups, electric scooter stocks, Chinese stocks. SPACs pulling off one or more, buys, charge point, electric batteries. It just doesn't want to have anything to do with that. And I would say that the common theme running through all of that are future earnings potential, maybe. They don't want that. give me earnings now that I can bite into, they're there, they're not in the future, they've been growing consistently over the years, and they're expected to continue to grow consistently going forward with very little risk to those earnings. And that's what the market wants. So you have to, whoever is the general manager of your team, whoever runs the roster of players in your, 25-man or woman roster right now of stocks, you have to sometimes take a step back and look and say, do I have the best stocks on the field right now, or the best ETFs or the best mutual funds are on the field? Am I wasting spots with emerging markets? Am I wasting spots with speculative garbage that may or may not someday have earnings? You know, I'm thinking of Workhorse and Lion Electric and Fisker and things like that. You know, that's just not the place to be in the market right now. Now, there's a lot of different ways I could go here today for my featured stock of the day, but I think I'm going to follow through with the theme here of good quality, consistent earnings. I've narrowed it down to two stocks. I'm going to make my final decision right now. Yeah, I'm going to go with Horizon Therapeutics out of Ireland. That's right. Low tax rate Ireland. I wonder if that has anything to do with why they're there. I don't know. Ireland-based company that develops therapeutics for the treatment of rare and rheumatic diseases. Now, you say, how can you talk for the last 5 minutes about consistent earnings and reliable? Well, Horizon Therapeutics has been growing their earnings at a consistent, they have earnings. This is much more than a biotech. How can, it's a drug company. They've been growing their earnings at a rate of 16% per year over the last 5 years. And they're expected to continue to grow at 16% per year over the next 5 years. And I just look at that track record beginning in 2017 when they hit $1.18 per share in earnings. And they hit $1.89 the next year, $1.94, and then $3.88 in the COVID year. They're expecting $4.33 this year. They're expecting $5.59 next year. Okay, that's all consistent earnings growth with hopefully, with no guarantees, that pattern to continue going forward. And then, of course, we take a look at the current valuation of those shares and make sure they're not in the stratosphere. The PEG ratio on HZNP, HZNP is 1.2. That's a very, that's a very reasonable PEG ratio to pay for a quality growth stock like this. Then I look at the performance of the stock over the years, which reflects on the management and reflects on the products that they've come up with and the team that they've assembled to run the company, sales, distribution, production, everything. Over the last 10 years, Horizon has delivered to investors almost 30% per year with no guarantees going forward. That is the batting average as they step up to the plate today as the featured stock of the day. They've more than doubled the returns of the market for 10 years. And this year they're up 41% while the market's up 29%. When we consider valuation, when we consider performance, this stock is ranked number 169 out of 5,850. We'll make it our featured stock of the day, okay? Well, you can find a whole lot of featured stocks of the day and best stocks now from my perspective in my newsletter every week at GundersonCapital.com. I give out 4 weeks of the newsletter, two of the full one with the portfolios and the next two with the macro outlook and everything like that. We also, my main thing is, you know, the next 6 hours or so, I'm going to be managing my portfolios. And I also have a lot of live trading subscribers. They insist on managing their own portfolio. So I have a product for them. They can follow along. I should be pretty active today with my comments and my observations on the market. I did make two big buys on Friday that were in the newsletter over the weekend in the emerging growth portfolio. But my main thing is I'm a fee-based money manager. If you want to, you know, set the worries aside and all the time commitment that you're committing to managing your own portfolio, if you're not happy with who you're with, okay, if you're not happy with who you're currently with, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. We run a virtual office. You don't have to fight for a parking place or fight downtown traffic. We run a virtual office. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.